Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Mets fans. On today's episode, we will be talking about most of the Mets' recent injuries, such as Michael Conforto, and how it will play a factor in the future. Hello, Mets fans, and we're back. So we're going to be jumping straight into our topic as we have a 30-minute episode today. So we're going to be jumping into our recent injuries, and we're going to start off with Michael Conforto. Michael Conforto left today's game after getting in a collision with second baseman Robinson Cano. They're both going for a ball in shallow right field today, and Robinson Cano reached out as far as he could, and Michael Conforto ran right into his arm and was exited in the game today against Nationals. So Michael Conforto has been a key part of our team, where he's been doing pretty well this season. He's 26 years old and just been, I'd say, our second best hitter this year. As he's been striking out a little often, but everything's been pretty good with him. So hopefully he'll be back. And a concussion is definitely something to be worried about. We cannot rush it like we rushed it last year. We rushed in an injury and he just wasn't the same. So I'd say we take it step by step with this injury and just wait it out as long as we can, because when it comes to the end of the season, we are going to need Michael Conforto in the outfield and at the plate. So so far he's hit 8 home runs this season, 9 extra base hits, 18 RBIs, and is batting .268 on the season. So he's been doing pretty well, but he's definitely been a key part of the team, getting clutch hits and clutch situations. So it's definitely going to be a tough part losing him, especially since we're going to have to fill in that spot in the outfield. It won't be too hard as we have Brandon Nimmo and such guys who are not as consistent as Conforto, like Lagares or Keon Broxton, who just didn't come in clutch today with the base hit that we absolutely needed in the ninth. But we are going into that later. But basically it's going to be tough, and our outfield right now is looking at breaking news. It just came in from the Twitter. J.D. Davis will start to play on left field starting tomorrow. He's originally a third baseman. He grew up in the minors of the Astros system, playing pretty much all over the place. Was blocked by a lot of Astros players such as Bregman, Correa, and then guys in the outfield like Springer and all that. So he has a little bit of stuff in the outfield previous experience, so it shouldn't be too hard, but he will definitely be playing in the outfield, and McNeil will most likely be shifting to third base. So far, it's not going to be too hard putting in Conforto, but it's definitely going to be a tough part losing his bat in the fourth spot that where he usually is in the lineup. We're going to go into a second injury, which is unfortunate. Jeff McNeil. Jeff McNeil's been tearing it up lately. He's been by far most consistent hitter, and he's just been tearing it up. I believe he's top 5 in the National League in batting average, which is just insane, as this is his second year in Major League, first full year, where he came in 6th last year, coming up in August for Rookie of the Year voting. So, yeah, ever since this man came up, he's just been tearing it up, which I love him for. He's been all around the order, batting 2nd, batting 1st, batting lower in the lineup. He's been killing it with 12 extra base hits, 2 home runs. He's not much of a home run hitter, as he didn't even hit much in the minor league system. He's been doing his job, actually. This year he's batting .352 with a .440 on base percentage, with a .483 slugging percentage, and his strikeout ratio. This man does not strike out. He only strikes out 10% of the time, and the only times I can remember him striking out like more than once in the game is against Josh Hader, and Josh Hader is just a force, so it's nothing to be mad about. So yeah, he's very consistent at the plate when it comes to striking out, which I love about him. Last year he had below a 10% in striking out, but yeah, you gotta love a guy who puts the bat in the ball a lot of the time and just doesn't strike out, puts the ball in play, just works the defense, and some stuff happens sometimes. That's why he has an on-base percentage that high, because he just puts the ball in play. And, he doesn't chase many pitches at all. He doesn't walk, actually, either, because his walk percent is below 10%. So he's a little swing crazy, but he always makes contact, which I love. He has almost a 20% line drive percentage, so he always makes pretty good contact on the ball when he swings that, too. So it isn't just he's making weak contact every time. But, yeah, he makes contact 80% of the time. That's just mind-blowing, in my opinion. 80% of the time, he's putting the bat on ball. And you got to love a guy like that. We got him in 2013. So ever since then, he's been killing in the minors. But yeah, he's definitely going to be a tough part to lose in the Mets. We don't know how long this injury is going to last, but it looks like it'll be a few days. But hopefully we won't need him like too badly, as we have the Tigers or Marlins tomorrow, and then the Tigers series coming right after that. So that should be, hopefully, knock on wood, that should be an easy series against them. And that should definitely, or hopefully, get that above the 500 mark, as we are currently two games below 500, sitting in third place in the NL East. But yeah, so those two injuries will definitely kill us. Obviously, we have the Jed Lowry injury, which was announced 2 days ago on via Twitter. So he came to Syracuse, was raking, he had a home run, few extra base hits, and then it came in. He's injured. He won't be back till mid-July. That's just crazy. We signed this man for a pretty solid contract out of the blue. Signing him proved we didn't have much confidence in McNeil, as we wouldn't need a third baseman if we had confidence in McNeil. But this signing is definitely backfiring on us. It was definitely a good signing at the moment, but he's just getting up there in age. I believe he's 36 years old. He was an all-star last year. That's probably the only reason we got him. But this is definitely backfiring us on payroll, as we could have used this money to go after Dallas Keuchel. Obviously, Dallas Keuchel's asking price would be a lot more. But we could have definitely used this on another reliever, such as people who got signed before him or after him, I mean. We could have definitely used this money a little more wisely, especially looking at Jeff McNeil's stats this year. This man doesn't get injured quite often either, so... So he's taken a few baseballs to the rib cage, hands, all over the place, and he doesn't get injured. So this is quite different to see him get injured and be placed on sideline. So this man's been – all three of these guys are pretty consistent hitters, and we're definitely going to miss them on the baseball field, Michael Conforto and Jed Lowry and Jeff McNeil. So these are – these guys are definitely going to be something to miss. Hopefully they're not out for too long, especially Conforto. Concussions can be very, very crucial in a career. Hopefully this doesn't mess up his reputation, or rhythm, rather. But, this is definitely going to affect the Mets lineup, and we're definitely going to have to shift guys in positions that they don't feel comfortable in, and having Jed Lowry out for another few months, weeks, whenever he feels fine, is just increasing the chance of Todd Frazier playing. Todd Frazier has been doing awful this season. Excuse me. But he's been doing awful. Ever since he got activated, he had that little grand slam and, like, all that. He's been doing awful. This man is not getting better. He's 33 years old, and he's batting below 150. This is his slash line. He's batting 148 with a 164 on base percentage. His on base percentage is under 200. That's so bad. And his slugging percentage, don't even get me started on, 259. We should just get rid of this guy. I'm sorry, but this guy is not doing anything. Keep J.D. Davis at third. Put Jeff McNeil in left field. Get rid of Todd Frazier. Why is he still in this lineup? We have plenty of guys to replace him with. Oh my! This just gets me angry. Edeni Echeverria is better than him. That's not when we called up Edeni Echeverria. That was the bye-bye, Todd. Get out of here. But apparently not. Mickey Callaway loves Todd Frazier. I have no idea why. He wasn't that great last year either. He batted way below 200, or no, way below 250, batting 213 with a 300 on base percentage. But yeah, this man just hasn't been doing good. He makes contact and walk, other than that, but he strikes out quite often, almost having a 40% strikeout ratio, which is just kills me. Two home runs this season, no extra base hits, seven RBIs, and he's just been getting way too many opportunities than he deserves. He hasn't, wait, excuse me, this, I'm just looking at the stat. He hasn't walked this season. He has a terrible, he just can't walk. He has 19 strikeouts and zero walks. So this man has just been doing nothing at the plate this year. So this is why all these injuries are just starting to kill us. Todd Frazier is going to increase his playing time, and I have no idea why. I hope he has just one bad game that really shows Mickey Callaway and makes Brody Van Wagenen make a decision. Like, you play him or we drop him. Or no, I'm sorry. You bench him or we drop him. He'd be a solid bench bat, not going to lie. We have a lot of guys that can substitute for him. So he wouldn't be a bad bench bat. Like, he'd be a very expensive bench bat as we paid him quite a little bit last offseason. But he'd be an expensive bench bat. But he definitely can't be starting over J.D. Davis. J.D. Davis has been killing it ever since we traded him against for the Astros for a few prospects. I wasn't a fan of that trade at the initial, as I liked a few of those prospects, including Luis Santana, who had bad 350 in rookie ball and just had a lot of potential. But I'm starting to grow on J.D. Davis. J.D. Davis's defense started off very lackluster and was very bad and, like, showed he was a little lazy. But this man's been working his tail off. Ever since, I think Todd Frazier actually coming up definitely inspired J.D. Davis to be better. J.D. Davis is bad. It's always been there. But his defense has been neck and neck with Todd Frazier's, in my opinion. So Todd Frazier's defense has been, like very, like, not notable. So it's like J.D. Davis's only flaw in his game going into the season was just his defense. So I think just him working on that after being moved on quite a bit last year in the Astros AAA farm system. So, yeah, I think after just a few reps after spring training, a few weeks practices and all that, I think it's definitely going to help him get a lot better, and everything's just going to get a lot better from here if J.D. Davis plays. But these injuries are definitely going to hurt us a lot. Conforto, hopefully his injury isn't too bad. But, yeah, we have Justin Wilson on the IL as well. He was planned on coming back last week, and he came in that he is not feeling fully better, and it was safe to keep him on the 10-day IL, so we decided to do so. And, so that's what happened. It's definitely putting a little depth in our departure from our bullpen, excuse me. But our bullpen hasn't been doing bad. Today they let up one earned run through three innings of work, which is not bad in my opinion. It was in the seventh inning, Daniel Zamora left a run to the Nationals, to Kurt Suzuki, and that was the winning run, which you can't really be mad at. Our bullpen, if your bullpen only allows one run through three innings of work, that isn't too bad. So I'm being very pleased with our bullpen. Our bullpen absolutely sucked at the beginning of the year. But it's definitely growing on me. Edwin Diaz has been used the right way recently. He's been put in some easy situations recently, which has been definitely easier for him. We had that whole Red Series where he blew a game. We know what happened. We don't want to bring that up either. But we know what happened. We got the win and Jesse Winker got ejected. But getting off topic there, those are definitely four big injuries we have there. We got Justin Wilson, we got Jeff McNeil, we got Michael Conforto, and Jed Lowry. So those are four names that are definitely big contributors to our team. We have yet to see Jed Lowry in the field. So we're going to probably jump into a commercial break, but just make sure to come back, don't leave, and we're going to jump into commercial break in a few seconds. We're going to jump into commercial break, and we'll see you guys in a few seconds. If you miss, see you guys in a little bit.
Hey, guys. This is Benson from Bucko Booth, also producer here on this show. Just want to make sure you tune in. This Saturday, noon Eastern, we have a lot to break down in the week of Pirates baseball. First, we're going to be going over the mock drafts that have been released so far. The draft is on June the 3rd. It is quickly approaching. The Pirates hold the 18th overall pick in the draft, and we're going to discuss who we think the Pittsburgh Pirates should select, as well as catcher Elias Diaz. He is due to get hot. We're going to be talking about him and what the Pirates should do with their weak-hitting catchers at this point. We give you three takeaways from the Pirates series loss versus the Diamondbacks and give you our confidence polls a quarter of the way into the season and what the Pirates can do to get into a playoff position as they are on the outside looking in. All this and much more in this week's episode of Buckaroo Booth, Saturday, noon Eastern. I'll let you get back to this show, but I hope to see you there Saturday, noon Eastern. Let's go, Bucks.
And we are back from commercial break, and we are jumping in straight into our National Series review the National Series review as we lost 2-1, two games to them and one game to us. So we're going to start with the game, it was tough. Everything was, it's tough losing a division series to the Nationals, who are definitely struggling this season, but, yeah, so it's definitely tough losing to a team that's in our division. But our offense was showing up a little more, but definitely not stuff I wanted to see from the team. We started off the season, or series, excuse me, with a 6-2 win. Ramos had a home run, Smith had a home run, or Ramos rather had a grand slam. Ramos had a home run the first. Nimmo doubled and made it 5-0 in the sixth. Smith put in the dagger in the ninth, hitting a home run 435 feet to right center field, excuse me. And Noah Syndergaard had a tremendous outing, 8 innings pitched, 4 hits, 2 earned runs, one walk, 6 strikeouts, and 102 pitches, bringing down his ERA to 4.74. And Seth Lugo did a good job closing the game out. One hit, 0 earned runs, 3 strikeouts, 3 up, 3 down, and 20 pitches to get the win for the Mets, bringing his ERA down to 2.88. Notable performances, Amed Rosario went 2-for-4, bringing up his average to 2.84. As I said before, Wilson Ramos had a grand slam, which was the big hit in the game. Dom Smith had the home run for his first of the season, which is good to get him started for the season. Yesterday we lost 5-1 let me just get this set up. Yesterday we lost 5-1 to the Nationals. It was a tough loss. It was to bring us below 500. It was definitely a tough game to lose. Wilmer Font recently picked up in a trade of the Rays. He couldn't get out of the third inning, laying up 6 hits, 5 earned runs, 2 walks, and 1 home run. They got started off early, putting up a 3 spot in the first inning, which was definitely the winning runs. Davis tried getting us started in the third inning, but we could not find anything else in that game. It was a low-scoring game. Our bullpen shut them down, laying up 0 earned runs of 7.2 innings of work. So, yeah, they definitely did very well shutting them down. Wilmer Font was my only complaint, but it was his second game. But, yeah, so once it's, so it was definitely a tough game to lose. But today's game was definitely a lot more tough, as we lost 7-6, in a heartbreaker, as we lost 2 of our main pieces in the same game. Conforto hit a home run before being taken out later in the game due to a concussion, as was just reported. They definitely got a huge start off. Exactly, you're putting up a 4 spot in the first inning, as no one hit a home run, but they just put up a lot of base hits. They totaled to 12 base hits today, putting up 7 runs. We tried getting stuff started as Cano doubled in the third innings, And then Conforto tied it all up in the third inning, tying it up to 4-4. Then Parra had the home run in the fifth, which definitely brought down our esteem. And then they put up another run in the seventh. We tried to get stuff started in the ninth as Ramos singled and Legar singled, putting up two runs, which was not enough to bring us back to 500 today. But it's definitely tough. It's always tough to lose to a division rival. Zach Wheeler had a very tough outing today. Six earned runs, six innings of work. His walks went down, which I like. But nothing much else than say this was a disappointing series. And, other than Cano had a double today, which is good to see. But nothing much else to see other than Conforto's home run and the injuries today. So, yeah, it was definitely a tough loss. Zach Wheeler is definitely starting to scare me a little more. His ERA is 4.85, which is definitely not bad for three in the rotation. But from what my standards were, I was expecting a sub, like, 3.5. But it's definitely getting a little nerve-wracking as all of our starters have a very shaky outing once in a while, and you don't know if it's going to be in a big game like this. This would definitely put us back where we want to be. But, yeah, our bullpen is definitely looking a lot better this whole series. It's definitely good to see that happen. So we're back against the Marlins tomorrow. Hopefully we get back to 500 against that series. It just annoys me how we have so many injuries in this one game. If we had Conforto or McNeil in the later innings, we would have definitely won this game. So it's the Mets curse coming back at us, which we hate to see. But yeah, what's it called? Pete Alonso did not get to start today. Dom Smith, they were impressed with his home run the other day, so they decided to give him the start for some reason. He went 0 for 5, two strikeouts, bringing his average down to below 300 to 297. His on-base percentage is still pretty high at 409. But I don't know why we didn't start Pete Alonso in this big game. Maybe he wasn't feeling great or something, but regardless of that, Keon Broxton was put in for Michael Conforto after getting injured, and he blew the game once again for the second time in the season. He was in a chance to win, tie the game up in the later innings, and it was right down the middle, and you guessed it, he missed, and we lost the game. So, yeah, that was definitely a crucial part of the game. Keon Broxton, I definitely hate. I don't like Keon Broxton at all. He had that one clutch hit earlier in the season. To win the game in the eighth inning, but yeah, other than that, it was nothing much. We went for a very weird offense today as we sat Wilson Ramos and Pete Alonso, starting Tomas Nieto over Wilson Ramos, who went 0-for-3 with a strikeout, bringing his average down to 200. So yeah, we had a total of 10 strikeouts today. So that's definitely not good to see. We had 13 strikeouts the other day. And we had 5 strikeouts the other day, which brings our 3-game series total to 28 strikeouts, which is definitely nothing you want to see from a team that for a series we should be winning. We should have won the series 2-1 in my opinion. We could have won today if Wilmer Font didn't start yesterday. We should be 500 right now. We should be 21-21. And we should definitely be in a better spot at the moment. But everything's not going how we want it. But it's just how life is going to be. We're going to have to work around the injuries. And things for now are going to get a lot tougher. My series MVP would have to go to probably Noah Syndergaard for his amazing outing, 8 innings of work. Definitely a bounce-back outing, bringing his ERA to a reasonable 4.85. Hopefully we get to see that down to the threes. Definitely threes. Twos would definitely be asking it. Washington leads us in the season series 5-4. Next time we play them would be, I believe, if we play them in a few days, actually. It's definitely going to be something to be looking forward to. But, the Nationals are definitely a tough team to play. We play them in a 4-game series, actually, in what's called May the 20th, so we should definitely get them back then, looking for a redemption. But yeah, so it's definitely going to be something to look forward to. We definitely have to beat the Marlins. We have to sweep the Marlins. There's no question about it. The National, it'll give us a lot of room going into the National Series, to be honest. There's nothing really else to say, but we're just going to go over a few minor things going around in the Mets right now. So we have Pete Alonso wants to be in the home run derby. Pete Alonso said if he gets the invite, he will definitely take it. Well, we know what happens to players who love being in the home run derby. It messes up their swing. People have said David Wright, Aaron Judge, it messed up his second half swing in this potential MVP season. So yeah, this definitely scares me, but Pete Alonso likes having fun. I don't think this will mess up his swing. Hopefully, knock on wood once again. So yeah, this is definitely something to take note of. Hopefully, it'd be great to see our rookie in the home run derby as he currently is killing it, which you gotta love to see from a guy who is, in my opinion, is the National League Rookie of the Year. But so far in the season, but yeah, so he has 12 home runs this season, so hopefully he can get that up to 20 by the All-Star break. Hopefully that'll impress the people who decide and get the invitations out. He's killing it with 9 extra base hits, 32 RBIs, and just is trying to repeat the season he had in the minor league last year. His strikeout percentage is definitely really high. It's stuff I don't like seeing. He has 50 strikeouts and 17 walks. Strikeout percentage is almost 30%. Makes contact 75% of the time, which is pretty good to see from a good four hitter. And yeah, so it's definitely good to see. He has 40 hits on the year. Yeah, so he's definitely been adapting to the major leagues very well. And that's kind of tough to see. That's kind of hard to do in your first year. People definitely have struggles. You see Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Other than the two home runs he had the other day against the Giants at Oracle Park. Yeah, so it's definitely, you see him. He wasn't doing very well before that. So the fact that Pete Alonso came into the major league just ready, hitting his home run in his second to third series, is just great to see from a guy who had a lot of hype around his name, and he's living up to the name, and hopefully just keeps on doing that. If he does that, we need him to be the Pete Alonso he was last year, putting it up. What's it called? He put up a crazy amount of home runs, 36 to be exact, in the minor leagues last year with over 100 RBIs, crushing that, actually, 67 in AAA and 52 in AA. So, yeah, it's definitely great to see him trying to replicate what he did last season. But other than the strikeouts, that's not the end on the Pete Alonso topic, but it's just something to consider for the home run derby. His home runs is definitely up there. But yeah, so that's really all we have to talk about. But what's called, my expectations going to the Marlins series, it's definitely a sweep. We have DeGrom on the mound. Matt is pitching. It's just been confirmed off of Twitter a few minutes ago. Matt will be pitching this weekend. He's back from the injured list. He has been pitching pretty well this season. So yeah, Steven Matt will be back. So that's an injury that we will like to see come back. A player that we like to see come back from the injured list. He's been quite inconsistent in the past, but we're going to put that in the past once again. He's a big lefty, but yeah, so what's it called? He is doing pretty good this season, actually. He has a 1.2 FIP, which is definitely a little high, 240 average, which is pretty good. He has ERA's 3.86, which is definitely something we like to see from a 4 or 3 in our rotation. That are second in our rotation right now, I believe. Jacob DeGrom being the first, bouncing back after the last outing he had. Hopefully, he keeps that up. But yeah, his FIP is 5.10, which is a little high, but it's just something. He's back. That's the main part. We're gonna definitely need him. If he could definitely, he needs to shut up the Marlins when we play them. But, yeah, it's definitely going to be something. But I believe that's all we have the time for the episode today. I really appreciate you guys coming out on this late episode. Love you guys as always. We really appreciate it. If you guys could check out, use the code BPN10 for your tickets on Stubyard. Go check out our merchandise on in the link in bio on my Instagram, Mets.Station. We have some cool designs there, so make sure to check it out. It really helps us out. But, yeah, so hope to guys see you next Thursday night, and hope to see you guys soon. Let's go Mets, baby.
Amazing Mets is produced by Benson Fechter. Amazing Mets is a production of the Baseball Podcast Network. For more Amazing Mets content, be sure to head over to our website at baseballpodcastnet.com. Make sure to follow our host on Instagram, Tim, at Mets.Station. And follow the Amazing Mets podcast on Instagram as well, at Amazing Mets Podcast. Follow the official Baseball Podcast Network social media accounts, Instagram, at baseballpodcastnet, Twitter, at Baseball Podcast 1. That's PODCAS 1. YouTube at Baseball Podcast Network and SoundCloud at Baseball Podcast Network. Thank you for tuning in to Amazing Mets. We'll see you next time.